The Bible reading from today is John 10, verse 1 to 6. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them.
Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake, I'm yours. Big statement. Big phrase. Important one, though. Very important. We continue today, God's story, our story. And we continue to get more and more stories coming through. And today we've got Judy Cook, and she's going to come and share her story with us.
God's story, my story, religious education in schools. In the olden days, around 1989, while living in Charters Towers, I responded to the call for RI teachers. As now, I had no particular skill or ability. I struggled more that first couple of years than I do now to complete the theme in the time frame and make a non-confusing message and structure so the class remains quiet in line with the rest of the school. I was given 25 grade twos, and those little ones have families of their own now. When I moved to Maryborough, I upgraded to 50 year twos. This activity takes about 2 hours per week, including prep and travel time. There's no financial outlay, morning tea, vacuuming or stacking chairs. RI has been a great personal and professional development for me. Maryborough TAFE ran a training course on preparation skills. At Nambour TAFE, I chose training and development as one of my units of study. On moving to Brisbane, I chose a degree in adult education at QUT. All this stemmed from that first RI class and provided practice as I went. Now, I've been everywhere, man. Charters Towers, Maryborough, Burnside, Northgate, Nunda and Ascot. I've had the privilege of working in these state schools with many different teachers over the years, and I've seen the introduction of computers and data projectors to all classrooms. Over this time, I've witnessed teachers developing the skills to discipline students in a much more respectful way than they did in the past. Now, I haven't been teaching RE every week since 1989. Sometimes I was working full-time and couldn't get away. Over the last few years, while busy, I was in a management role and could leave the staff to carry on without me. I remember where it all started, and I never liked to think of a class missing out. I was teaching 3 classes at Ascot and 4 at Nunda, and I finished all that before lunch one day a week. That's a mission of 175 souls per year, and most have never heard the stories from the Bible that are common to us. But others have awesome knowledge and faith. Now, during this time, with pressures of life and work, the wheels were slipping and at risk of rolling down the hill, stress-wise and also spiritually. I was considering what I needed to do. I felt unprepared and inadequate. So I prayed, and this message came to me.
Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live.
I only had to get my foot through the door. I could do that. So the classes got done, my business thrived, and now I have sold it to come and live on the coast. Immediately, there were new RI possibilities at Talara and Kawana Waters. It has been a journey, a pretty easy one so far. I haven't suffered like Paul, and I hope I don't end up in prison. So thanks for listening to God's story, my story, of religious education in Queensland primary schools. Now, do you know anyone who's looking for an adventure? Because there's a few classes being missed.
Well done. Thank you, Judy. Well done, Judy. Judy's had a great week amongst all the RI stuff this week, and she's doing a really good job championing and flying the flag. Well, how are we all today? You good? Anyone down at Kiwana yesterday afternoon, down at the beach? No? Yes, I see one hand. Yes, okay. Very good. Well, you would have seen me in my morning glory. Here we go. I would have been wearing this beautiful gold outfit and looking $1 million in it. If I don't say so myself. Exactly, Paul, exactly. Now, yesterday afternoon was a very average afternoon down at the beach. Everything was going along quite well. It was pouring rain. And no one was coming down and bothering us on the beach because it was wet and windy. And the surf was really good. The surfers were having a ball out the front. But no one was swimming between the flags. And that was lovely. Not much work to do. Sit back, relax. I even took a book to read. Thought it'd be a wet, wet, wet afternoon. But come along 1 o'clock, the clouds parted, the sun came out, and so did the people come down to the beach. Hey? And they started to swim in between the flags. Now, as a radio operator and a first aid person, my job and my duty is to be ever watchful for those swimming between the flags and watching those naughty people who choose to swim outside the flags or surf in between the flags. Yesterday afternoon, we had a number of people decide to swim outside the flags. And at one point, at approximately 2:30 in the afternoon, we had two surfers come flying in at a great rate of knots right in the middle of the flags. I was ready to get on the PA. I was ready to go through policy and procedure and rouse on these two hooligans. Only when they went straight up to the marquee, talked to the patrol captain. Next thing I know, my radio's going off and I'm told to hit the shark alarm button because we've had a shark just outside the flags. And that's why they came in so quick, because they got to talk to him face to face. Hence how quickly they came in. We quickly pushed the button because I've practiced that. That's one of my fun jobs as a radio operator, of pushing the shark alarm button, making an announcement and saying, warning, warning, warning. This is just a test, but I love doing it anyway. So we got that out there and everyone came flooding in. It's amazing. You push a shark alarm button and everyone obeys. They all came straight to the beach. The surfers did what they were told, everyone. The beach was empty. We sent the IRB out. I grabbed my binoculars and I was scouring the waters for the shark. It was a prop. Oh. I scoured the water. I looked out and back. I walked backwards and forwards up in my tower looking for this menacing creature. For over an hour, I looked for this menacing creature. I became binocular eyes for that hour, scouring the water. How many times do you think I saw him? None. How many times do you think I saw him? Lots of times. Lots of times. In fact, there was someone talking to me at one stage, and I swore I saw the black shape just coming in through the sand, quickly grabbing the binoculars again, looking, ever vigilant. As per process and protocols, after 1 hour, we have to make a decision on whether we open the beach or not. Let people back in the water. After an hour, the PC gets on the radio and says, after your observations and investigations of looking at the beach for the last hour, do you think it's wise and safe for us to open the beach? And I said, we've seen nothing. We've sent the IRB out. Nothing's around. So, yep, let's open the beach. So we opened the beach. And as soon as we opened the beach, three young, foolish people decided to swim out as far as they could. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm praying, Lord, let not the shark still be here. And they swam and they swam. And they came back safely and everything was good. But for the next hour, while the beach was open, we were everywhere, looking. Everyone on the beach, walking backwards and forwards, making sure that there was no dark shapes coming anywhere near us. We were really good lifesavers at that point in time. We were really good radio operators, not reading a book, but ever vigilant, making sure that those that were on our beach were safe and secure. That's a real life story that happened yesterday. It was a bit eventful. And I still haven't seen the shark, but we've had a number of shark reportings on that beach in the last month. One day I might get to see him. He seems to come around every Saturday afternoon when I'm on patrol, so it's nice of him to visit. Today we've got a story that Jesus tells, and it's a very good story, but he uses different animals to my shark story. He uses sheep. And again, like for you and me, the word shark is something we know about, don't we? We know sharks. We know about them. We know they're in the water. We know that they're around, and we hear all the horror stories of what they can do to someone. In Jesus' day, the thought of sheep everywhere was just like when I lived in Tasmania. You knew about sheep. You knew what they did. You knew where they lived. You knew what they were like. Sheep were everywhere. So in Jesus' day, the sheep were all over the place. So he's using a very, very common terminology, something they all understood. And when he talked about shepherd, the people knew what a shepherd was. They knew what a shepherd did. They knew how a shepherd behaved. They knew how a shepherd smelt. They knew about shepherds. And so when Jesus is telling the story about the shepherd, it is a story that they're aware of. Now, this section happens in John chapter 10, as Rosie beautifully read today. Thank you, Rosie. In John chapter 10, which flows on from John chapter 9. And for many of us, we just read John chapter 9, which is all about the blind man seeing and the battle of darkness and light, spiritual blindness, and how Jesus talks to the Pharisees then and tells them that they're blind. And we flow straight into this story. Commentary writers debate at length whether this story just continues to flow on or whether, in fact, there's two festivals that are mentioned here. And there's a three-month gap between chapter 9 and chapter 10. It's a message that the Pharisees have been talking about, because as we see in verse 21, the whole thing about a demon-possessed man, which is what they said to Jesus in chapter 9, was still rattling around in the Pharisees' head if it was 3 months later. Something that was very pertinent to the way the Pharisees were thinking and understanding. So when Jesus stands up and he says, "Very truly..." What does your Bible say? Rest assured? Most assured? I tell you the truth. Verily, verily, in the old translation. What it means is, I want to get your attention. This is something that is really important, and there's a great truth element in this that you need to hear. And he's saying it to the Pharisees. Now, the other interesting thing, and I'm not going to major on this part of the story from the commentary writers, because at this point, a lot of the commentary writers go into a great list of things that speak directly into pastors' lives. So if I was just to use that analogy, I'd just be speaking to James and myself at the moment in time. I could probably stretch it a little bit to the leadership team and other leaders, specifically talking about shepherds and good shepherds and bad shepherds. But I'll leave that little bit for now, and maybe I'll just sit down with James later and talk about good shepherds and bad shepherds and go through the commentaries on those. But there is the other section here that Jesus relates to, and he talks about the sheep and the shepherd. And there's a relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And there's another relationship that's mentioned in this, and it's about the others who have come before him and around him. Now, I don't know about you, but things are a little bit confusing these days, aren't they? Do you get confused about things? Yeah, I get confused about things. I'm not sure which is up and which is down. I get told one thing, read about it on the internet, so it must be true. It's so confusing. Now, this jersey or shirt, all right, it's for the Broncos jersey. Okay, fifth, yes, that's a very good score, yes. So if I wear this, what message do you get? Boo. Okay, there's one message. Go Broncos. I'm a Broncos supporter, yes. And you would think wearing that sort of shirt would get you in anywhere, wouldn't you? Definitely, yeah. I went somewhere the other night and they threatened to throw me out of the house because I was wearing this shirt. Would you believe that? It was a Parramatta supporter, Mark. Yes, it was. And he was wearing a Parramatta shirt. And so it was very easy to see who was who. Now, I did go to this house to watch a game of football where this team wasn't playing. Manly was, and the Eels were. And Parra won. Yes, it's irrelevant, but that's right, they won. Now, I wore this shirt to show my colours, even though my team weren't playing. And I did also say that no matter what happened that night, these guys would still be number one. Now, wearing those sort of jerseys makes it easy for us to spot who we support, who we back, who we want to be on the team for. Sometimes wearing these things help us do that too, doesn't it? Although there you see a lot of people throughout the world wearing these things, and you sit there and go, hold on a sec, I've heard all about you. What are you doing wearing one of those things? Amen? Yeah. So maybe that wearing that doesn't mean, maybe it's a fashion statement. For me, it's definitely not a fashion statement. Jesus talks here about thieves and robbers. Now, I like the old shows where when someone was a thief or a robber, you knew they were a thief or a robber. Now, pardon for this, Russ. Because they dressed like this and you knew they were a thief and a robber. They were breaking into your house and they had gloves on and they had their little kit. Pink Panther? Yeah? You got me? Yeah. So you knew they were a robber and a thief. These days, how many robbers and thieves wear these? No one. They wear hoodies. Yeah, different. Yeah. I like my hoodies. But it's different to see robbers and thieves. And some robbers and thieves don't come in the back door like they used to. Some robbers and thieves just stand near your ATM and pinch your money. Some will just walk past you, apparently, and skim your card. So robbers and thieves these days are doing a great job to hide. And it's hard to see who they are. Jesus says here, any robber and thief will come in the side entrances or in the back way. They won't come in the front door, which is very, very true. And so Jesus is saying very clearly here, watch out for the robbers and the thieves. But who are the robbers and the thieves for us today? Who are those who will come and try to steal away the truth that Jesus is trying to teach here? Keith Green had a big influence on me as a young man. And a number of years after I listened to his music, I got to read a book about him. Now, it's fair to say Keith Green grew up in an era where there was a lot of, let's say, different lifestyles being lived. And a lot of people were checking things out in a major way. Now, Keith himself checked out a whole bunch of different things in lifestyle, but found them all to be of no value or no worth. Something was still missing in his life. So he checked out Hinduism. Something missing. Checked out Buddhism, something missing. Even looked into Islam and Judaism, something was still missing. But as he continued this journey, which led him towards Christianity in the end, he found that there was one piece that seemed to be the same in all these puzzles, and it was the name of Jesus. He could find Jesus in each of those areas and find, hold on a sec, if each of these areas are talking about Jesus, if there's Jesus mentioned in this, if this subculture or this culture is talking about Jesus, then what is it about Jesus that needs to be investigated? So in that way, Keith Green got rid of the thieves and the robbers around his life and turned to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. I know for myself, it was great at Bible college to investigate the others on what they were saying. But today, we don't worry too much about Hinduism, do we? We don't worry too much about Buddhism. We don't worry about Judaism. We might have our concerns about Islam, but a lot of us are not investigating it properly to really get a fair understanding of it. Most of us will get our information straight from the internet with some sort of little thing that gets thrown up there very quickly, which can be a bit concerning. There are other robbers and thieves in our lives these days, aren't there? Some of the commentary writers were very good in talking to pastors about the things that might steal things in their lives. Areas of commitment, areas of tunnel vision, as it were. Jesus says here that his sheep know his voice. And this is an important thing for us to not follow the thieves and the robbers, but to know Jesus' voice. it was really cool that in Judy's story today, she shared that this was happening and then God spoke to her. And it was a Bible verse. This morning as we were praying in here, Evie told a story. And she was talking about a time when she lived at Ferny Grove on a 5-acre block. Now, I'm not going to say that this was a long time ago, but Evie was talking about when she had kids. Little kids. I wasn't going to emphasize that, but yes, little kids. And Garth was away at meetings and things like that, and there was no mobile phones, and you could just see in the distance the lights of your neighbours. All right? And sometimes when she was at home alone, looking after the kids, there may be a thief or a robber. Not real ones, but something that come in and steal away your peace and your calmness. 5-acre block, out in the bush. Now, Evie shared with me that there was a number of times that she had to deal with snakes. We won't go into the stories of those snakes because it's not quite correct these days. But anyway, she had to deal with those snakes and get them away from her kids and stuff. In and through this time, you can imagine a young mum, anxious, worried. She went to her God, and the Lord gave her Psalm 91. And if you know Psalm 91, there's a verse in there that says, "You do not need to fear the terrors in the night." Is that pretty close, Evie? Yeah. You do not need to fear. So here is a young mum with kids, and the dad's out doing what the dad does, and she hears God's voice loudly and clearly that she doesn't need to fear the terrors in the night, for he is with her. Now, I know when we talk about God's voice, each and every one of you can have a story about hearing God's voice in amazing ways. But Jesus talks here, he's not just talking about amazing ways, he's talking about everyday ways, isn't he? He's saying, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep follow me. They know when to come with me." And if you go into the story about all the shepherds, and there's much written about it, that these shepherds will come in and they'll have this special place and all the sheep will come in, and then the shepherd will come back and he'll call them by name amongst all the other sheep, and they'll all come out with him. And the other sheep will stay where they are and they'll all come out with him. It's an amazing thing to read about and to see that there is such a bond between the sheep and the shepherd. That's a point that we need to get from here. There is such a bond between the sheep and the shepherd, and the shepherd and the sheep. Now let's stop for a moment and have a look at the Good Shepherd. Because as I was preparing this, I assumed that we all understood who the Good Shepherd was. And I just felt God say, stop for a moment. Let's just clarify that. Let's just find out how much about the Good Shepherd we do know. We know that Jesus is the only way to the Father. The only way. He is the one who lays down his life, as Jesus goes on to explain in verses 7 through to 21. He gives up his life willingly. He lays down his life for the sheep and for the Father. And the Father loves him because he's prepared to do this. And so the whole area of the cross, the song that we sang about the cross, about Jesus going to the cross, is all for you and for me to understand him as the Good Shepherd. As the shepherd who would give up his whole life for you and for me. Again, in verses 7 to 21, it talks about the hired hand who runs away at the point of danger. Because a shepherd in those days had to deal with lions and bears and robbers and thieves out in the darkness, the middle of the night, taking the sheep to good pasture, to water, making sure the sheep are okay, living, sleeping, walking and talking with the sheep. Living with the sheep. And Jesus wants that relationship with you and with me. And I pray that you and I know that Jesus as the Good Shepherd, the one that laid down his life for you, so that you might enter into a relationship with God the Father, that your sin and my sin may be forgiven. This is the Good Shepherd. And I pray that you'll know that, this amazing story of the Good Shepherd. Because the Good Shepherd loves you. The Good Shepherd lays his life down for you. And out of that, we are to know his voice. And as we know his voice, we're to follow him. So what does it mean to follow the shepherd? Have you ever followed someone? Have you ever been on a journey where you had to follow someone? In a cars, you had to follow someone in the cars? You ever got anxious when they got out of sight? I know sometimes with the youth, when we're traveling to a camp or something and we go in convoy, I often will get anxious if they don't keep up with me, or if I go through a set of lights and, oh, they didn't get through. And you worry about whether they're following you along the track. Have you ever intentionally followed someone into an area where you weren't so sure? Now, Avril made some comments about the board meetings on Wednesdays and Fridays. Yes, it's true, some of them stay on the boards better than others, and I'm one of the others. But I follow Richie and Paul as far as the board meetings go. We will have a discussion on where's a good place to swim out with the boards. And I will follow them. I will see how they go through the water. And if I see that they get smashed by the waves, I'll learn from their mistake and go a little bit further to the north or the south. But if they get out fairly simply, then I'll be filled with excitement and joy, thinking, yes, I'll go in that direction and I'll follow them through that way. And there's times, exactly on Friday morning, Paul went out very simply, very quickly, and I was going, wow, that's pretty quick, excellent. And then Richie and I paddled out together, side by side, and we got hit by a wave. I thought I got hit by it really badly, and I tumbled upside down and didn't know which way was up. And I thought, no, man, Richie would have got through that, and now I'm stuck here by myself. I looked up, and Richie had got knocked off his board as well. So I was thankful that we were both still together, and I was still following him through the waves. It's just a simple story, but it's about following through and pushing through to get to that point. Jesus calls us to follow him. What does that mean for you to follow Jesus? These sheep leave the security of this nice little built-up area and walk out and follow behind Jesus. He speaks their name and they follow him. As Jesus speaks your name, how do you follow him? Last week we talked about the Great Commission from Matthew 28. You know, some tongue-in-cheek, it often got called the Great Omission because the church sort of lost it and didn't follow through on it. How many remember a story about Mr. Carey who went to a board meeting and wanted to lead a mission organization into the area he felt God calling them? And I remember in the story, one of the gentlemen said to him, Mr. Carey, if God wants to save the heathen, then let him do it. Whereas Mr. Carey responded with Matthew 28 and saying, I am compelled, I am called to go and reach these people for Jesus. What is Jesus saying to you and to me? It's interesting, Avril mentioned about living on here on the sunny coast. It actually took us 6 months to hear God's voice to come and live here on the sunny coast and minister in what we have here at Kiwana Life. 6 months journey. We could have been here in January, but it was a 6 month journey for us to turn up and be here, to come and to meet with and touch base with. We had to make sure God was leading us. Easy to hear God call you to the Kiwana, yes. How hard is it easy to go and get called to Cunnamulla or Longreach? Got to talk to a little bit to the pastor from Longreach up at the Baptist Convention and just sharing with him. And sometimes we hear the emails and I pass them on through Kiwana Life Network, but also in the newsletter about the Longreach Church and the Longreach people, how they're reaching out to the farmers. You see, they live in a different world to us in that sense, don't they? They're not worried too much about all the things that we're worried about here, about some of the stuff going on in the political scene and all that sort of stuff and this rights and those rights and all that other thing that's in before us and before our eyes, because we don't have to worry about the fact that it hasn't rained for a while. Whereas for farmers, if it doesn't rain, that's their livelihood. You see, they're not just talking about survival. They're talking about how do they look after everything that they have. And so when the church goes to step into that gap, that's a call and a half, isn't it? How do we follow Jesus? How do we hear God's voice? How do we live this life for the Good Shepherd? Or are like many sheep, we too going astray? If we look into Psalm 23, which is a shepherd's psalm, and it's one of those psalms where we know that David was reflecting on his experience as a shepherd boy. In that psalm, he talks about how God is that provider as the shepherd, to nice pastures, to good water, safe environments. But there's also some verses in there, isn't there, about a rod and a staff, two areas of correction, two areas where God would want to speak into our lives. Or he may use the staff to save us from ourselves, to get that hook. And I could imagine, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, my grandfather had a cane, and he had a hooked cane. And every now and then, I had to be really quick around my grandfather. I was only very little, like 6 or 7. And if I was cheeky and he went to grab me and I could get out of his reach, I think I was pretty smart. But he was very quick with that cane. And he would turn it around the other way and use that hook and grab me around the ankle. And I'd fall down, boom. But he'd catch me. He'd get me. And I could just imagine a shepherd with a sheep going the wrong direction, using that hook to pull them back. And although it may be uncomfortable for the sheep or the lamb, the shepherd would know what to do and to pull them back into safety. See, following Jesus is about a whole gauntlet of area. It's about areas where God wants to correct us and lead us in the right way. It's a whole area of sometimes the rod needs to get used or the staff. Or sometimes it's that place where he settles you down beside that stream of nice, clear, running water and quenches your thirst. Or he takes you into that nice pasture after it's just been tough because there's been no rain and it's been a drought. See, this is the Good Shepherd. He loves us and cares for us. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that you said very truly, please listen. This is important. And Father, in the busyness of this world, we can sometimes just think that our prayer of recognition that you are our Lord and Savior is enough for us to live each day by. But Father, I believe you wanting us to call out to you and to listen to you each and every day, that we would hear your voice. Father, as sheep can often nibble one piece of grass at a time and all of a sudden be led astray, we too, Lord God, can day by day be led astray. One day here, one day there, one week here, one month there, not listening to you, not seeking your voice through your word, not spending time in fellowship and in prayer, not being obedient to your call upon our lives, not following you because it just gets too tough. Those waves keep flooding in again and again and again. And sometimes it's just easy to throw our hands in the air and say, oh, I can't do this. But Father, you call us to follow you. I pray, Lord God, that we will be obedient to your voice speaking to us. I pray, Lord God, that we will be obedient in following you in what you call us to do. Father God, I recognize that all of us here today are in different points and different walks with you. Be with them, Lord Jesus. There's so many areas of our lives, Lord God, where we need your voice to be spoken into, where we need to be followers of yours as parents, as guardians, as grandparents, as members of our community, our surf clubs, our sporting clubs, our schools, our colleges. Help us, Lord God, to be your faithful servants in and through all those places. Speak to us, Lord God. And may we follow you every day of our life, every day for you, Lord Jesus. Amen.